Rod? Okay. Chuck is here. He's going to call the meeting to order, I believe.
Good morning, everybody. Call the meeting to order. Welcome, Rod. I don't know if you're aware, we've got Linda, Renee, Debbie, Ron Houseman, Bob Paulson, and the three commissioners, as well as our clerk, Christy. So who would like to start this?
Well, I can start, and it's going to be a pretty open discussion here. So I had, we were kind of waiting for this meeting so that we can kind of see what the next steps are and how to proceed, make sure we don't skip any deadlines and all that, because I know Linda had a reporting due last week that you've made. It was pretty simple,
sir.
But there's some steps that we have, some things we haven't seen yet. And I know Debbie's kind of babysitting this whole thing because of Joan's departure. And so I just wanted to make sure when I sent out the meeting thing, I put some things that I wanted to cover. And I know then Debbie gave us a sheet of things that she wants to cover. And so the thing was, I mean, Rick Finley, Rick will be here shortly because he has to set up the line item for the grants and all that. So, so we can start doing expenditures and things like that. So minor, no particular order. So Debbie, why don't you, since you've got yours numbered here, why don't you start and go from there?
Okay. What I tried to do was put everything together that I know so far and things we need to do. Obviously, one of the things...
Move the microphone a little closer.
Okay. One of the things...
Perfect.
That kind of holds all this up is we're waiting on a webinar from DNR that we've been promised in April. We were first told that we would have an administrative manual right after we signed the agreement, which has not come, that will give us the walkthrough in terms of administering this grant. Then they changed it and said they were going to have a webinar sometime in April. We've been not been notified on when that will be, and that we will receive an administrative booklet at that point. But so a lot of these things are still maybe a little up in the air, but I tried to put some concreteness to it from my perspective of what I know so far. In meeting with the partners, one of the questions that came up was, when we bid out the lights, can the county also bid out as a package deal the labor for installing those for the entities that will have to hire labor to do that? It would obviously be, and we're talking about Mark Twain School, we're talking about...
Rexplex?
Well, they can do it themselves.
The
city and county
probably.
Entities. I didn't know about the airport.
That's
city
and
county.
Lifts in there in the hangar. So.
Okay, that. Mark Twain, Kirbyville, and probably Tane County Health Department.
Okay.
And it would make more sense if we could bid this all together. Obviously, it'll come in cheaper. If we do that, we also need to know not to bid anything out until after May 1st. I understand the Department of Labor. I just got word of this day before yesterday, that prevailing wage, which took a huge jump in Taney County, and increased the price of our project with the temperature controls at Hollister by like $51,000.
Wow.
It doubled.
Wage.
Number one, it doubled the price of the labor. Number two, it put restrictions on electricians. It said that they cannot work 4 10-hour days, which is what they had been doing down here. It also said that if they work past 4:30, whether they agree with it or not, even if the labor force decides that's what they want to do, they have to be paid time and a half. So,
Debbie, can I interrupt?
Yes.
Run that by again. How did that happen? Double the cost in labor, you say?
Yes.
Prevailing wage?
Because of prevailing wage. My understanding is what was happening was there was still a lot of building going on down in Taney County. Taney County had one of the lowest prevailing wages in the state, and basically the union in St. Louis did not like that and got it raised. Our engineer had even called the Department of Labor and said, didn't even get a full sentence out of his mouth, asked the Department of Labor spokesperson he spoke to, can there be a variance on labor for, and he started to say a school, and he was told very rudely, there are no variances. But there, apparently the union is in quite a bit of chaos right now because it's costing union members jobs down here because people are not doing work because of that prevailing wage and how much it raised it. The end of this month, there's supposed to be another hearing, and they believe that prevailing wage is going to go down. So we don't want to bid anything until after that's been determined.
Ah,
okay?
Labor-wise.
Labor-wise.
Yeah, because one thing, and we're jumping around a little bit. One thing that Rod Finkel, when I met with him, when he handed the invoice, which we'll talk about, One thing that he mentioned was prices are pretty cheap right now. If we want to go ahead and do an RFP for the lights that we know we'll be replacing, he was supposed to send an email to Linda with the specs, which I think you said you got them.
I do. I have
them. And so we just need, as a commission, to decide if we want to move forward now versus later. But he thought we could see some savings if we went ahead and bid them and bought them up and charged them against the grant. And that way we could have them stockpiled. That also, Rod's thought was, you know, he would like to see us try to save some money from an aspect of let our own labor forces do it, which is building the grounds. And because of the nature of the rooms and all that, you know, we can, the cost share part of the contract, we can charge the labor against the contract if we do it ourselves, so
right.
We can save more money instead of putting cash out. The other thing is, if we have the lights, they can work room by room on their availability on rain days or whatever, if it's a rain day. So, you know, the other thing is we could use, just letting you know, if we have some road and bridge guys on a rain day, because their labor is can be applied, we could use that, or we've got 18 months. We could easily get it done with building the ground. We don't have to rush it. But if we had the stockpile lights, we could save money on that, and then we could work it in our own time frame.
Right. That's the third thing on that item is in terms of the fixtures. Now, what I've asked all the partners to do who are doing lighting is to go back and do a recount, because all of this was done in kind of a hurry, and double check. For example, Kirbyville had realized they'd left off a storeroom and another little room, and so it was 10 more fixtures for them. So everyone is doing a recount right now to make sure we've got the total number correct.
Okay. One thing I wanted to throw out, in talking to Rod, there is a standard for candlewatt lights for workspaces. You know, they have standards that they'd like the courthouses, government, green government buildings, and just in general to have a reading of what is the proper usage, lighting usage based off of it's a task lighting, hallways, and all that. Rod Finkel loaned us the county the meter. And what he suggests is that we do a before reading with all the desks. You just go through every desk, put the meter on there, get a light reading, some sample readings in the hallways, because what he says we have another opportunity is, like my office, for example, he walked me through how to use this machine, and my lighting in my room in my office is 3 times the standard because there's that many lights in my office, which causes lots of potential health concerns, but it's not energy smart. So what he suggested is go ahead and just take the reading now, and then there's some places that we could be able to remove lights, and that would further save money.
Rod, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, actually I do. Your true savings will actually come from the removal of fixtures and lamps versus what we've made the switch from T12s to T8s. Now, one thing I do want to mention to you, if I can go back for just a minute about the purchase of the lamps and everything, I think the recount is a fantastic idea because I've given Linda some of the counts that we came up with, and Debbie's exactly correct, is that we did it in a hurry. And I asked Linda to price things out on a per-unit cost so that we can lock in the price. But that way, if we only want to buy 40 lamps right now instead of 1,600, we can do that. And to lock in that price for 30 days or 60 days or whatever it is. But what I'd like to do is to be able to take 2 rooms and we make those changes and then we see how the effect will affect the room. Because by changing the lamps, we're going to get anywhere from a 20 to a 30% reduction in light level anyway, because I've used a very efficient ballast and a very efficient lamp. And then by doing that, we've cut down on the number of foot candles that you'll get in those rooms anyway. So before we remove any fixtures, I want to put the new lamps in to see what it does in those and then do it on a room-by-room basis. But he's correct. You're going to get the most savings from the actual removal of the fixtures.
Rod, am I understanding what you're saying is the fixtures we have hanging today will stay in place? And we'll update some of them and see how it plays out, and then if that works good, then we'll pull some out.
That is correct. What hint on any of the ballast, and we are changing the sockets that hold the lamps are still the correct size for changing to the new lamps that we're changing. It's just smaller lamp physically. You won't really notice the difference. You have better quality called rocks, which is quality in writing and that sort of thing than you currently have in there. But we're going from 3,200 or 3,100 lumens to 29 to 2,800. So you can see there's a pretty good decrease. We're doing it's 15 to 20%, and that will correlate to the reduction in foot candle as well. My suggestion is that take Commissioner Stropas's office, for example. That office should only have two fixtures at the most, and there's three in there. So that office, I would recommend we take one out, but let's change the lamps out in two of the fixtures and see what the reduction in lighting level does, and then take the third fixture out if we think we can get by with it. But like he said, that room is probably two to three times what the recommendation would be anyway.
Okay.
I found that pretty much true throughout the building.
It's like that because of the remodeled rooms. We just moved light fixtures, you know,
right.
And then just happened it. But every room that I tested hallways. When I finally figured it to work, I walked around and pretty much the reception area in the commission office is two times the normal. So in the hallways were three times normal. So I see where we could reduce them. So I just thought if we had a before reading with buildings or ground, just doing quick report, then we know where at least the starting point is. Because there'll be some people say it's darker in here, and we'll be able to say, well, it's within, you know, within 2% or 5% of what it used to be. And that brought the same, there's going to be a perception of darkness anyway because they aren't as bright individually. So I just thought since he's loaned us that free of charge that and I've got the instructions that if it's all right with the commission, because that I believe that labor would count toward the grant too.
Yes, I'm sure it would.
Yeah. See, so even that work can be charged back against our obligation to the grant.
You said all right with the commission. I didn't follow you on doing what?
Assigning the buildings and grounds to do a recording.
Oh, do that. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
The documentation of each room.
Yep. Okay.
Sounds good.
Absolutely. That was one of the things on my list. Go ahead, Debbie.
And I didn't realize specs had been sent to Linda. I'm working with an engineer on the Hollister project, and Fred Malicote, and he has volunteered. He's going to help Mark Twain at no charge. I told him I'd bake him cookies or whatever, but given their financial status, to be able to go out and make sure they don't even know for sure what kinds of fixtures they need because of the age of the building. In many cases, they don't have recess lights. So he's going to go out and tell them what they need given the age of the building because it's different than all the other buildings that we're doing. I was asked about giving preference to local suppliers if they are competitive, and I think that's what we need to do in regards to local suppliers on this. I assume that that's what Taney County does anyway when they're ordering. But
We had the bid process, Linda followed, but yeah, we always, you know, we always try to help.
Okay. The DNR revolving loan applicants. My superintendent and I met yesterday with the gentleman in charge of that program. He was in town for a conference, and got some direction from him. I do know that Mark Twain has already submitted theirs. There's $10 million available through that revolving loan. It is zero interest, and they're giving preference to the people who got these block grants in regards to that. The first deadline is April 30th on those. That is very simple to fill out, that application. But there is a 1% origination fee with it, so there is some money, but it's a 10-year payback. And like I said, Mark Twain is in the process of putting theirs together. Hollister Schools is putting theirs together, and both will have it in before April 30th. If you wait till after April 30th, that money will be available as of June 30th. It will be released in regards to the amount.
Can I ask you? Can you tell me what the level for the airport is? How much they need to? The reason I bring that up is that the airport right now is not breaking even, and we've probably kept their money, you know, the hangar, kind of kept everything separate. Do we want to do a zero interest loan, or do we just want to do an internal loan from the county to the airport? That's kind of why I had Rick in here too, is for a discussion of how we want to handle the airport, because that facility is still the colleges.
Can you explain not breaking even? I don't think I've heard that before. The airport's not breaking even?
The reports that they're giving us doesn't show profit right now.
This year.
This year.
But we're not even breaking even, is what you're saying.
Well, the reports they're
either negative or just barely.
It's the report I wrote off memory. I don't have the last report, but the last airport meeting is.
We kind of expected that because the market is leaving in payback of the
loan. They figured out the payback of the hangar, and the hangar is what you're talking about, right?
Okay.
But I think it's in a report. The last airport report was either, I'm going off the number, but it was zero or near zero or negative zero. But
this is not an increase rate.
No.
Thank you.
So the airport has
we showed them as taking the revolving loan, and then I thought they were going to self-fund, so.
I think the way that it's set up, and I'm not sure, this might be a question to someone else, but the airport is part of General County.
Right.
Everything they make, everything they spend out comes out of General County revenue. So if you're going to make this application, it probably has to be done by county, maybe on behalf of the airport. But if you can get 0% loan, it kind of makes sense to do that, and hold our money off what we're talking about.
$19,000. Labor costs is $9,000. Labor costs is $3,700, which we might go do ourselves. Materials, $15,000.
I look at it because on that amount of money, I would say probably the paperwork that you're going to do is probably not going to work.
Right. That's what I wanted to kind of throw out.
First impression.
I will tell you that really, the revolving loans are really pretty simple. They're okay. Simpler than going to the bank.
Okay.
We talked to the guy yesterday. It's pretty much a done deal if you fill it out, at least right now, because like I said, he's got the $10 million that's the preferences for the block. The payback is over 10 years.
On a monthly basis, annual basis?
I didn't ask that. I was told that the payback is based upon your savings, so you use your savings from your electricity to make the payments, but I did not specifically ask if it's a monthly or quarterly.
$19,000 a week at 0%, you know, one, we might be getting 1.5% on the money that we're holding in there. And if we're making a monthly payment, it costs us to figure that monthly payment, whatever. I think probably in the long run, would be something to look at. Financially, it makes sense to do it if you don't have any labor costs, to figure out labor costs.
Okay, and you don't have to do it by the 30th. The next one, I believe, is September 30th, and the money will be available the end of November. So if you should decide to do it, there will be another pool of money.
Okay.
Again, all of their 2010 money will be 0% interest, 1% origination fee.
Okay.
So that offer will still be on the table for the next round this year.
So, Rick, I guess I'm looking for you from that aspect, at least Jim is. We can wait to September 30th if you want to think about it, evaluate it, look at it, talk to somebody.
I will visit with help, find out what we're getting on our money right now, and I'll kind of look at it that way to see what kind of actual savings we might have over, as you said, 1% origination fee.
Mm-hmm.
I can probably tell you, give you a couple of numbers, and you can look at it and say all three of you say, well,
yeah, you're.
We don't have to. My thing was the May 30th. We don't have to be.
April 30th.
April 30th.
No, you don't have to do that.
Gotcha.
You can wait till the next.
So we're not pressed for that one. Okay.
You can wait till the next one for that. But I do want you to know the other entities are going forward too at filling that out.
Excuse me, Debbie. Other entities would be Hollister.
Hollister's going through them. No, fire department says they're going to self fund. Taney County Health is going to self fund.
Okay.
So it'll be Mark Twain, Kirbyville, Hollister, and City of Branson is still, they're thinking they're going to be able to self-fund.
Okay. Very good. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And then a bulleted list, as I mentioned earlier, we'll be able to get more specific in terms of the bulleted list for all of the partners, and as well as for Linda in terms of her reporting once we have that webinar. We're just, they've made the announcement of money, but they haven't told us how we're going to work out all the details that we're working out today here. So we're waiting for them to tell us. Number seven, the Empire rebates. There, if you want to apply by May 1st, you can apply by May 1st. That's their calendar year. Then there's a whole new pool of money that starts. There's still some left in this year's pool. I talked to the Empire lady. We filled ours out. That was, I think I mailed it a week ago. She told me we should hear in 5 to 10 days. Okay. So that's pretty quick. That way you know what money you're going to actually get back. This was kind of a guesstimate in the spreadsheet. For example, Hollister thinks instead of the $15,000 that's listed there, that we'll get $20,000 per building that we're doing because of how expensive it is. So consequently, what the county would want to do would fill out that. I forgot. Is the airport on Empire? It's a White River.
No,
I don't remember actually. I want to say it was Empire because Empire took the parking lot lights away.
Right.
Okay.
And we got them listed on the.
And the courthouse is on Empire?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What we'll want to do is go ahead and get the application in for the courthouse to Empire before May 1st. Because that way you can turn around after May 1st and submit another one for the airport.
Who is. How difficult is this application? Is it something that the auditor can take care of?
I needed, on the one that I sent in, I needed a little bit of help from the engineer. It was basically done by a fax and a phone call, and it took maybe 15 minutes of his time. So I'm suggesting, like I said, I'm dealing with Fred Malicote. And I've just fairly recently met him, but he was involved in the engineering on our temperature control at our elementary school. And so that's how he came into the picture. He's willing to do Mark Twain for free. I won't speak for him because I did not ask him if he would do this, if he would donate that. But given the extent of how big the project is with Hollister, and he's also working on a project over at Reed Springs, so he's down here every 2 weeks doing inspections for them.
Now, who's he with?
Fred? It's Malicote and...
Is that the EPM?
Well, he's independent. He works
That's
with EPM,
right.
But he's subcontracted. He's not under EPM.
So he's a...
He's an independent
service
engineer.
Tech doing your temperature
engineer.
Controls.
Engineer. Yeah. Right. He is a licensed engineer.
Is that something...
Jim, this is Rod.
Yes, go ahead, Rod.
Jim, we can take care of yours. We've been working with Empire as well, so we can take care of the counties. We won't charge you for that. She's correct. It's not a huge deal, so we'll take care of the engineering portion of it and just use your assistance in filling out the rest of it.
And Linda's raising her hand. She says she wants to take that responsibility. Why don't you work with Linda then, Rod? Is that right, Danny and Chuck?
Are you talking about just what the county's business is, or are you talking about Mark Twain's and others?
Yeah. He's talking about the county.
Okay.
The county.
Linda, why explain to me why you want to do it, just for the experience, or?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Rod, we're thinking it's the airport's included. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And probably if we do those separately, we can maximize what you get with each one. So if you do one before May 1st and one after May 1st, and like I said, very short time period before you find out how much you're going to get back.
I had a phone call from Mr. Dalton from White River Electric. It's been 2-3 weeks ago, I think. Offering services for energy savings on anything that the county had outside of Empire's district. I mentioned to him at that time that the courthouse and the airport and all that were on Empire, which he was aware of. But then when we go to talking about places like Mark Twain, actually the I don't know whether the East Barn would need to be looked at as far as their facility for its power. You can't do anything there, or...
Well, I don't know if we didn't identify the barns when we did this...
probably wouldn't be a part of this grant, and probably should have looked at it.
But right. here's where I'm going with this. I hear that there's a possibility that this other gentleman will look at Mark Twain's situation. Do they need to get with Empire and look at, he's going to be looking at lighting. Would White River could they be involved in this and look at the total energy savings for Mark Twain School?
Probably. The difficulty, what we were told yesterday by the DNR guy was, he said, if you have other projects that you did not put under this grant, consider putting them, going ahead and doing them now, because he said the money is there in regards to the 0% interest. And so if you're considering doing that, it's all dependent upon if the county wants to borrow money over 10 years or however, and you can pay back early, obviously. I will tell you, when the fire department, Western Taney County, got on board with this and started looking at how much they could save at their 11 stations, they were flabbergasted. They said, even if we don't get the grant, we're going to do this on our own, because we had no idea how much money we were spending that we could be saving.
Right. That's what I'm thinking about, though, in the smaller school districts, and we have had a discussion about the dollars that possible strain that it might put on the smaller school systems with Mark Twain and with, well, basically any school system now that... what's come down from the governor's office. But I heard the news that came out this morning and yesterday. So what I'm asking, I guess, is should I contact Mr. Dalton, or should maybe some of you contact Mr. Dalton and find out this? Mainly what we're talking about is lighting. This grant is lighting, because it doesn't pay back within 10 years. But what if they were eligible as one participant through White River Electric's efforts to show that they could save tremendously and maybe get a payback that would satisfy their yearly range,
right?
Which was 7 years and 10 years and so mm-hmm. on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so... that's just a question. I'm asking this in a question form. Would it be of our interest to get White River Electric involved in?
I think so, because I have not approached, and that's one of my phone calls is to Chris Hammond and find out who is the person I need to talk to about the white, and maybe this Mr.
Rob
Dalton is.
Rob Dalton.
Okay.
Rob Dalton.
Because I do not know him.
Yeah, he called me 2 or 3 weeks ago about this.
Okay.
And asked me about the courthouse and Taney County. Hookups on White River Electric.
Okay. I think anything we can be doing right now, energy, the guarantee in all of this is, there's not a lot of guarantees in life, but I can guarantee you electricity is not going to go get cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And that with Empire talking about a 20% increase, even if that ends up being a compromise at 10%, when I look at the breakdown of our buildings of how much we spend on electricity, this all translates into teachers
yeah.
and books and supplies.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot more sense for schools, especially schools right now, to be writing a check that helps educate kids instead of writing a check to the utility company.
Right. And that's the only reason I bring this up about Mark Twain School, and it's in our county, and it's something that needs to be addressed. If what was on the news this morning, I'm strictly going off the news media, but a 2% cut straight across the board for education,
mm-hmm.
That 2% doesn't need to be paid out in utilities. It needs
right.
to be paid out for education. And so... that's the reason I bring this to you, and if you would not care to, just call
I'd be
Rob
happy
Dalton
to.
And any other thing that, it, like our Eastern barn, and I'm not sure that our shop that's here at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's not on White River also, right at where the sheriff's patrol and all that, there's
Mechanic shop. 160.
See, we have two shops there now, and right. So we might, and we just got through running a three-phase system, I think, or they're in the process of doing that to the East Barn to save on electricity utilities. So I need to check into both of those. We can move on. I just thought I'd bring that to your attention.
Where are we, Debbie?
Let's see. Empire Rebates. Question that came up in meeting with some of the entities is, how soon will billing occur from the county after materials are ordered? Can the county carry the bill for several months until the rebates have been received and the grant money's been received for the billing? We know that these figures are not exact on the spreadsheet. For example, the figures that we were told to plug in on the cost of these lights is considerably higher than what we even found going out to Lloyd's Electric and buying it in small amounts. So we've got to believe that if we do a massive bid for all of these, we're going to get them considerably cheaper. So I really think what's going to happen is this whole project's going to come in cheaper than, with the exception, obviously, of Hollister with the labor on as big a project as that is. But I really think overall the figures in terms of mass are going to be lower because the total cost of each project is going to be lower than what we were predicting. So that was the question asked, especially by some of the schools, two schools. Will the county carry that for a couple of months till all of that other money has come in and we know exactly what that balance is going to be, that they're owed?
Humor me just a bit. So I may miss this, but the thought is we're going to bid fixtures for all the entities together,
right,
as the county.
Right.
And you're saying we do that, we purchase them, then how soon will the Hollister or
right,
fire department, whoever, how soon will they have to pay those bills?
Right.
And then the next question is, how soon will we be, is that mostly all going to be having to be funded, in other words, the revolving fund, or out of their pockets? Use the fire department, for example.
Or the grant. Now, the grant bidding is about a 30-day response from the time that you send the bill into them until you get it back. But this is a question I need to ask in that webinar. I don't think they're going to pay anything on materials until those materials are installed.
Okay.
That's a little
So if they sit here 6 months before we get them in, then
right,
somebody's got to pay for them and
right,
carry that.
And I also have a question about budget. What time restraint? Are we within a period of time when we get all this started? Do their repayments come in November, December, October, November, December?
It's 30 days past. You submit 30 days. You purchase it, submit the invoice. They have 30 days to submit to repay you. So
each entity has 30 days to repay us?
The grant is repaid us 30 days after the invoices are submitted.
Have you got a wild idea, Debbie, of how much that material is going to be? I was looking at
the
chart
actually,
here.
I'd have to add that column.
Which column is that?
With the exception of Hollister Schools.
So it's 439 minus 252. First column says material cost on the far left.
Ah, okay.
Right.
So it's 439 minus the 252, which we're talking then, what, $175,000?
And 10 counties itself.
We're going to be fronting $140,000.
I would be in favor of just fronting it, taking it out of her whatever that account's called.
Okay, I've still got a question here.
Okay.
The question is once we buy these lights, the other question that you brought up is they're not going to pay on these lights until they're installed.
We don't know that. In reading through the agreement, that is not clear.
Okay.
So until we go to that webinar and can ask that question.
Because that makes a big difference in the time frame that all this is going to take place.
Well, if you look at that timeline that I've got, that's why I put that down in May.
Mm-hmm. One thing I wanted to point out is if we choose to give Linda the direction to go put this out for bid, she'll be able to bid it in quantities. So that there's going to be a point where the vendor won't give us any more discount based off how many we're buying. And so the thing is, we may not be buying all of them and stockpiling them all because it may be the same price point to buy 25 that it is 50. And so I don't anticipate us buying all of them, filling up a room full of light fixtures. And then what I say is buying the quantity that we agree on, which is the best price break. So I don't think we'll be fronting all of this money at one time.
Okay.
I think if, whatever these quantities, how will we creatively bid this? But it's like all, you're probably going to bid them for all in groups of 10 or groups of 25 and groups of 50, and we'll see what the price point is at that point.
We have three local electric, Harry Cooper Supply, Lloyd's Electric, and then is there a place in Hollister there?
There's Anderson's.
Is it Anderson's? Is it electrical and plumbing? Okay.
And Meeks may want to participate. I mean, it's hard to say who wants to participate.
And that new Arrowhead, is that going to be any electric? Okay.
Inside, okay. I think that'll be a new lighting.
Okay.
But I guess my point is that decision, I mean, the concept, I guess, is what we have to agree to, which is, like Chuck says, by concept, I'm fine with fronting the money for 60 days or so to these entities because it looks like, provided it doesn't have to wait to... Brian, I'm not breaking any statutes, and providing we don't have to wait for them to install it, because then I have to go with their installation time on it. So,
well, if we bid the installation and we have one person who does all that installation for them, I don't think we're looking at a delay. I think he or she will just move job to job to job and get it done.
Debbie, Jim said 60 days. Should it be more like 6 months? I don't want us to put a time limit on it then.
And I guess we don't even have to make a decision until we get the RFP back.
Okay.
I know Hollister's okay on that. I don't know in terms of the other two entities, especially with what's happening with the state. Because they don't, the schools really don't have a clue in terms of their budgets right now. Poor Republic was told at one point they had $250,000 less, and 24 hours later they had $850,000 less. So with things changing as fast as they are, I'm not sure about Mark Twain and Kirby.
Yeah, I mean, the reason you're asking is because you were asked by some entities, and we just need to kind of give you some.
Okay.
I think what we're saying, we're open to it, but not committing to anything until we.
Okay.
I mean, because I got to know how much we're actually fronting. Are we only fronting $40,000, or are we fronting $140,000? And how long? I mean, you have to like grant conference call to know, can we get reimbursed for materials, or do they have to be installed?
Right. I don't see any problem with Western Taney County or with the health department, because they're going to self-finance and they're going to work that into that will be in their budget.
Right. I'd hate to throw a cog in the wheel and all this, but we had a discussion, and I keep going back, but it affects also Bradleyville Fire Department and the Mark Twain Schools and all these. Are we sure that they have applied? They're a participant now, but with what's coming down, is there going to be a reaction from them from the news that came out that they possibly can't make their payments and things? I mean, that's going to...
Said Bradleyville, but I think.
Well, Bradleyville, all the schools in the county were contacted initially to try to get everybody on board. A lot of them had already changed out lighting. I talked to Tim Crawley at Taneyville, and they had changed out most of their lighting, and their engineer told them that they were looking at such a minimum savings with the little bit they hadn't done yet that they chose not to participate. Mm-hmm. I did not hear from Bradleyville on that.
Right.
Branson had already changed out lighting. Hollister had changed out lighting. Forsyth had changed out lighting.
Right.
Forsyth did it 5 years ago using this DNR revolving loan fund.
And I guess my question, and it's just more of just a, is everybody going to participate now that things have changed?
The only thing I would point out is when Ron and I were visiting with Mark Twain, Superintendent Bruce, before he left, he was talking about the consolidation plan of the budget. And there's even a possibility that Mark Twain is targeted to be consolidated. So I mean, there's a lot of things that the budget's being discussed. He's talking about consolidation of smaller school districts. I mean, there is a lot of things that the governor is suggesting, even made suggestions. You heard those comments. It was either you or Bob was next to me when he made those comments to Bruce. I don't know. I guess
I don't know whether that interferes with this or not.
If,
but
if Mark Twain can't participate because of budget cuts, does that hurt this?
Well, if consolidation is an aspect and a possibility here, that's something that's out of our control in terms of the entity not participating if there's any anticipation that school won't exist in a year or two.
Right.
So that would not hurt us. It would hurt us if they said we're not going to participate because we don't have the money for it. But I told Bruce, I said, I'll do whatever. If we have to do bake sales and I have to approach people in the county to get money for you, we will come up with the money for Mark Twain to do this.
Right. I'm 100% behind what you're saying. I just want to make sure that whenever it comes and they start, they were talking to the Willard superintendent on TV last night, and he said, look, there's only one way for us to reach this, and that's staff. Mm-hmm. So if other schools take that opinion, then we're going to have a situation with a small school like they've got that just...
And I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. Because this is going to start seeing an immediate savings for them in regards to their budget.
I'm fine with everything. I just want to not question anything that may turn up in the future that we might ask why we didn't ask those questions.
Sure. And I just met with Carlos and Bruce Monday of this week, and they're both gung-ho to go because they see it as a way to actually increase their budget from the savings.
Okay, what's next?
I guess Linda was designated, and I can't remember the process, but we talked about Linda being the reporting person. Mm-hmm. I saw some emails from you, Linda, saying that you got some emails saying that, what was the email from? About the tax ID or the federal ID.
That's
the
correct.
Sign
it's
on.
Already been taken care of.
That's
correct.
All done.
Yeah. She sent it to me, and I sent it to Bill Hoff.
Okay. So the question, I guess, you're going to continue to help Linda with the reporting. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you had made a comment to. Mm-hmm. Rick, from the budget, from accounting now.
Accounting-wise, the federal government hasn't decided how they want to account for it. One of the things I've been told is that we should have a revenue line and an expense line for each grant. I would like to have numbers that would, identify this grant, and they do several different numbers. You can probably give me those, and then we'll build a revenue line and expense line, and everything that comes in will go in that revenue line. Everything goes out will go out of that expense line, so that we can see where we're at on those. And right now, I don't have any other information besides that. I think that's probably going to all be from this going to be required.
Okay.
When we're done, let me look through here and see if there's the ID number on it, on this agreement, okay?
One thing that I wanted to point out or bring up is that any work prior to, and Deb and I have been talking about this, when we met, whatever, a week ago to try to set this appointment up, any work prior to the award date cannot be charged against the administrative fees of the grant.
Right.
There is an administrative line item in the grant, which is what percent, whatever it is.
$8,000. It's $8,000.
Right. So the thought, and this is for discussion, the thought is, as Deb, because she's familiar with the grant process and she would work with Jones so closely and the other entities, as I would like to suggest that as Deb helps Linda and our entities and us facilitating this grant, that we could reimburse her from that administrative line item at an hourly rate through this grant. That's what I'd like to do, because we have that ability to do that within the guidelines of the grant. Is that correct?
That is correct. But someone of you needs to, my understanding is Barbara Boley wrote what she did in terms of, we collated all the information, sent it to her, she then filled in all the blanks and got everything together for the grant. That my understanding is she's not been reimbursed, that there was a verbal agreement, and I'm hearing this second and third hand, that there was a verbal agreement that she would get the administrative fee and do the administration on it, and consequently not charge for writing the grant. So someone needs to get that straightened out and find out what is the value, what value does she attribute to the time she put into the grant, and pay her. She can't be paid ahead of time, okay? So that somehow she is reimbursed for the time that she has put in regards to it.
So, as she sent billing.
Well, and this is what I did. I heard the same rumors. So I had Jillian try to make contact with Jones, and then also made contact with Barbara, asking for any documentation, any emails referring to this arrangement. And at this point, there is no documentation of any arrangement. It would have been strictly between Joan and Barbara. I know the arrangement we have with Barbara is an hourly rate traditionally on everything else she does. I asked Ron yesterday, have we seen a bill from Barbara related to the energy grant? We have not. Is that correct?
Correct.
So I don't know what else to do. I asked, like I said, Jillian followed up with Barbara, followed up with Joan. We do need to get that resolved, because I don't know what to do.
And I want to make it really clear, since this is a public meeting, that I am not trying to take this over from Barbara Bowley. But given the nature of all of the hand-holding that went into pulling everybody together with this, some of these entities in particular are not going to be comfortable with being told there's somebody in Florida that they've never met, checking with them, and it's the issue of, if you don't get something from the employee, of knowing who the boss is to go to and say, hey, we've got to have this to live in 2 days, I need it, kind of situation.
We understand. I totally understand that, and I think she will too. Local entities the relationship that Ron and mainly Joan had with Barbara Bowling is different than the relationship that would come out of any of the other entities that are filing for this grant. So I totally understand, and I understand you're wanting to get that. Well, all we need to do is try to contact her and get some kind of an email, correspondence or something, on her amount of time on this, and explain to her. And she works all over the United States, so I'm sure, all over Missouri, so I'm sure that she's...
What I like the recommendation of the commission is to send an email from our commission, main commission email address, just asking for any documentation regarding compensation related to the energy grant application. And something generic like that, but gives her an official email from us, from the commission, saying, please provide us what you have. Because we have not done that as a commission. And I haven't spoken to Barbara directly at all. So I just want to know if that would be acceptable for you guys to get an email generated to Barbara today.
When you say documentation, are you asking her for written agreements that we had? Or what are you saying by documentation?
Anything that was put in writing from Joan to Barbara, or Barbara to anybody in the county. But Joan was the main contact for Barbara. I mean, I don't even have Barbara's number. Anytime I talked to Barbara, Joan had her on the call. So what I'd like to know is, was there any emails related to that from Joan or anybody else within the county that would help us come up to this, a resolution? Because, like I said, we haven't been billed for it, and I'm aware of. and I've heard the same rumors you've heard, that there's an assumption that she's going to get the grant administrative fee. And
I'm also getting emails from her asking for information, and I have put that off because I didn't know what role for sure until everything's defined.
So you have some emails from her of recent time?
Yes.
Well, I'm fine for sending a letter to her and asking for what's in writing, but I wouldn't want to limit it to that. I would like to know what her verbal conversations were. I mean, we surely don't expect Barbara to work for free.
No.
Well, traditionally, she bills us per hour. On everything else, she bills us per hour. That's why the strange thing that I heard in the room were through, I don't know if it's through Joan, through Jillian, back to me, was this was different than the traditional way we use Barbara. Because anytime in the past, we have a grant writer line item, anytime we use Barbara, Deb, or the lady who helped the Broccoli Beach one, that lady, anytime that they had billed on normal things, they would bill their hourly rate against that line item of grant writing that which we have line items. I'm just hearing this is a little different.
Rod?
Well, again, I came in when Joan left on energy, so I picked it up from that point after she had left the county. But I had received an email from Barb stating that she had set aside any hourly billings up front on the energy grant based upon the understanding that she would be doing the administrating. When we had a meeting a couple of weeks ago, Barb was on the phone. I know that her comment was that she would work with Deb and work with Linda as far as the administration and doling out where those dollars were, because she knew that a great deal of this grant had to be handled within the county. She's not here. It had to be done here, and I thought she was amenable to those dollars going to that effort. I've got a call with Barbara today scheduled for 10:30. We're going to go over a number of different projects that she had been working on, the billing process that she sent, understandings on what we think might be prioritized higher or lower, and one of the topics on that is energy, so I'll be glad to chat with her at that time. I think that maybe you should also send a letter to Joan as being the employee who was here that either made or did not make any agreement with her and ask what her understanding was.
That makes sense to me.
I'm good with that too.
Or so, email or whatever it is.
Is email fine with you children?
That's fine. Are we going to send that, or is Ron going to send it?
Well, we'll send it from the commission.
Okay.
We have the main commission email address, so we can send it from.
All right.
So we'll get. Are we thinking Jillian or Jim, or who's going to write that up, and will you send it to the rest of us for us to review
before it goes out?
Okay.
I should have some handle. If in fact you want me to broach that subject with her this afternoon, I can do that, or this morning rather. It's at 10:30. But again, to echo what Debbie had said just a moment ago, we have a lot of local players that are involved in this. And it's going to take a hands-on effort here in the county to manage it, if you will. And it's a lot easier to do when you're talking with someone that's right there or someone that you know and someone you place a great deal of trust in. So I think it's really important.
Okay. Well, Debbie visited with me just before she took the trip one last day or two, and I made comment, as always, only for myself, because that's all I can do, that I knew she'd put in a lot of work, and as it goes forward, she should be compensated for what's fair. I know the school's getting benefit from her work, but so we need to get that ironed out.
She did submit an invoice when I met with her last week, and she had drawn a line on it, what was prior grant and post-grant, and I gave it to Nikki to go ahead and submit it in the accounts payable for us to look at, because we do have a line item for grant assistance, so that it's that was on the list too. Is we have I don't know how many hours it was. 13
or 14. I figured that I put about 100 into this, and all I billed for were meetings. I took right off my calendar and
right.
That were physical meetings.
Right.
So and that's fair, because I wasn't even going to bill for that, and under pressure from Ron and I said, okay, I'll bill for part of it, because obviously Hollister did benefit from the effort. So
the invoice that she submitted, we submitted to the accounts payable, and it will be coming up next week or so. The reason it hadn't got submitted yet, because six of those hours were post the award date, which technically could be applied to the administrative of that line item, but we don't have a line item yet, so we were waiting for this meeting to take place that they could actually submit it. And then the other 6 or 7 hours was going to be billed against the grant writing line item that we had in the budget.
And then if you'll just look, this is just, I was trying to put together a timeline sketch for us to go by in regards to everyone, so that nobody was ahead of everybody else or behind. I've asked all the entities to have to me a final count on their fixtures by April 30th, and then if we've already got specs, that's fine. I do know that the City of Branson already has the specs on their outdoor lights, those ones for the parking lot. And they've done a tremendous amount of research, and so they've got the specs, which will be different than the indoor fixtures, obviously.
Deb, do you think that they could just do it themselves, since they're used to that process? Or does Linda need to talk to them and confirm? Because I guess we have to admit it.
Rules on what the city does, so you need to be careful, make sure.
So I guess, Linda, you need to get a hold of all the bidding entities.
I'm saying he's got the information on the specs for that, and I told him to put a package together. I said make three copies, make one for Linda to have, one for me to have, and one for Ron to have in his office in regards to the specs and the justification for those outdoor lights. And I was just playing with some dates there, some realistic dates in regards to it. I know Mark Twain and Kirbyville are both wanting to get lights in, obviously, while kids are out of school. So, but it's going to take, City Branson's told me, with the number of interior lights with City Hall and with the tower, they're going to have to just work that into work schedules, and it's going to take a while, and I assume that's true of Taney County. So I put that for a pretty lengthy period of time, and all the way through the end of the year. And with this grant, we have to close it out in September of 2012. So that's more rushed. If that's a faster pace than what you need to go at, I was just throwing something out to move it along. We could easily make that the end of April next year and be okay in regards to changing out those lights.
Okay.
Only last thing I have is that Rod Finkel had mailed an invoice for his RFQ that we had.
RFQ.
Yeah. We had not submitted it yet. I had it for the meeting we thought we were going to have on Tuesday, which is energy audit for the 21,000 square foot and a level 2 energy audit for the courthouse, and then the preparation for the energy grant submission. So here's the bill, $6,600, and we have got to, see where we're going to apply this, because it was work done prior to the award of the grant, we cannot go against the administrative portion of the grant. So, we have to decide or ask Rick where you see that invoice needs to be applied to.
We have a line.
It was grant support and an energy audit, so.
If you can't put it against the energy audit, you can use the grant support.
Okay. Okay. Commissioners?
Ron, you handed me a bill, I don't know, a couple of 3 weeks ago. I was covering for Nikki. I left it at her desk, and I think that's the same amount.
Yes, sir, it's the same.
About $6,600.
They've sent multiple.
Copies or gone at it different.
So we're going to just submit it under the grant writing fee then, correct? Rick, is what your recommendations are?
That's the best place to put it, because that's what it is, unless I'm misunderstanding what you told me.
That makes the most sense, because it is support. And that audit obviously was gave us the information that told you that the temperature control wouldn't work
in the 10-year payback. I mean, it was because of that that we were able to refine the grant application, and he helped with grant applications.
Right.
I'll have it submitted through Nikki for that, and then we can vote on it when it's time to vote on it.
Rod, are you still out there? Mr. Finkel.
If I muted us. That's hilarious.
Not hearing anything. Okay, what else?
That's all the things on my list.
Ron's got to look like he's got something.
I was going to ask Debbie, earlier you spoke to a May 1st deadline wherein we needed something prior to May 1 and something after May 1.
That's for the Empire Grants. That's their year. If my suggestion is that you go ahead and get City Hall lighting, or county lighting, go ahead and get that submitted before May 1st, and then turn around and do your airport after May 1st. And you also need to know with those, I found this out, and I didn't know this until in the last week, anything else you've done in terms of energy, you could also include on that. So if there's been anything done.
How about HVAC units?
Yes.
That we've replaced?
Yes.
Okay.
You'll want to put that on.
That's
you want to max it out, because what I found out is we're building our early childhood center, and it will have the efficiency lighting in it. Mm-hmm. And because of the amount we're trying to get for the temperature control, we don't want to put something else on top of it and lose some money, because the max is $20,000. But we can wait until May 1st of 2011 and submit that, even though the building's already up and the light's installed. So anything you guys have done, I can give you those forms of all the different things that they will give for. So if you've got an email address.
Sure. So according to energy, you're thinking it's pretty limit. It doesn't have any limits on what we need to be looking at.
Not with the Empire, no.
Not with Empire.
Not part of the Empire grant.
Right.
We're applying multiple levels of TATCHA grants, but for the Empire, to maximize it, we can apply many things to that.
Right.
Okay, and then I wanted to check with the White River side of things, because I see you had that road on there right below it where we were talking. We had to pay a certain amount, I think, to get three-phase power to the Eastern Barn. Does that apply for energy efficiency?
No, it hasn't. I don't think so.
It would probably depend on what White River has.
Right. Right.
But I just thought, you know, that there's a certain amount. There's a certain amount of cost that was because we were trying to save energy at that location.
Right.
Excuse me, Danny. Let's see if we can save some phone bill. Rod, are you still out there? We might as well turn this sucker off, hadn't we? Thank you. Excuse me. Go ahead.
Well, that's all I had to say about that. I know we're talking about White Empire, but I didn't know whether White River had the same kind of setup, and if we had to pay.
You'll be able to get a long time out.
Yeah, once you do that, and it seems to me like it was $10,000 or $15,000 or something that we invested into that. Right.
The other thing I forgot to mention on the revolving loan fund, if you've got a building such as a shop building that you're looking at lowering ceiling in order to make it more energy efficient, that applies under that revolving loan too. I mean, there's a wide variety of things. I can get you a list.
Would you? Because we're doing a remodel at the East Barn, and that may technically qualify because of the remodel that we're doing out there.
That's where I'm going with all this on the East Barn, because we had a remodel job for the boys to have a monthly safety meetings and things like that in. And
Okay, what's next?
That's everything on mine.
It's all of the things on my list.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
I have one question. With the exception of the outdoor lights from City of Branson, then do I have all the specifications to where I could be directed to go out to bid? Or do
I
need to
I
get with
those.
You? Okay. Okay. I'll get with you after the meeting. And
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you guys, I guess you guys talk and we'll go from there. All right. How about a 2-minute recess and then we'll do our next.
Could I ask one thing? We're going to submit this bill into accounts payable this
coming up.
Monday.
Okay. No, it won't be Monday because it takes a while to process. It'll be a week from Monday probably.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I think you have to submit Monday for the week next.
I wanted to know that whenever we.
Yeah.
Submit the accounts payable. So, all right.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? We'll recess for 2 minutes and then come to our next item, which is abatements, I believe.